Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, I'm Justin Blake, Executive Director of the Edelman Trust Institute, Edelman's think tank for advancing the study and measurement of trust in institutions. Welcome to a three-part series of the show where we will be recording on the ground from the 2024 annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Over the next few days, we will be speaking with key figures and experts about this year's forum and gather their insights on our annual 2024 Trust Barometer. I'm joined today by Jonathan Adishak, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communications at IBM. Jonathan is a communications veteran, having previously led teams at Nissan and Microsoft. Earlier in his career, he worked in the Clinton White House and at the U.S. Department of Treasury. We're also very proud to call you, Jonathan, an Edelman alum.
I'm proud to be one.
And thank you for being here, Jonathan. Welcome to Trustmakers.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Excited to be here.
So we're here at the 2024 Davos meeting. What are you looking forward to this week?
You know, for me, it is all about trust and AI. And I think as you go down the promenade here, you see AI everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. But it is really fundamental to what we're doing at IBM as a business and where we're going. And it really also, I think, ties into who we are as a company and the work we've been doing from a marketing and sort of one campaign around Let's Create as a company as well. So I'm really excited for the conversations, to catch up with people who I don't get to see all the time. You sort of find them here, even though some of them might be right down in New York where I am as well, and to really try and learn something as well.
We'll get into all of those topics in a moment, but maybe for context, you mentioned going down the promenade and you can't escape AI. For those of our listeners who aren't here in Davos, what is the promenade and what do you mean when you can't escape it?
The promenade's sort of the main street in Davos, and all sorts of different organizations and countries take storefronts and build them out to host meetings and different events. And all of them have some sort of signage in their windows or outside, and almost every one of them says something about AI. Even IBM, we've got some branding out there that's talking about AI and trusted AI as well. So it is literally everywhere you go.
Yeah, it really is ubiquitous. And for even more context for our listeners, I almost feel like maybe 5 years ago, that might have been blockchain all around the promenade.
I think that's probably right. And we've had sustainability and we've had, you know, any number of really great thought-provoking topics, which the World Economic Forum does a great job of really advancing the conversations on these key issues.
Let's get into the conversation about AI and innovation. Edelman just released our 2024 Trust Barometer, and one of the key findings is our respondents, who represent 28 countries, by 2-to-1 margin, most of them believe innovation is poorly managed. Why do you think that is?
I think a big part of it has to do with two things. It has to do with transparency and people not understanding what that innovation means for them, means for their jobs, their livelihood, their family, the way they do things. And I think the other piece is not everybody loves change. Without having that understanding, people think the change could be much greater than it really is. And for us, when we look at AI, which is, you know, the big topic, we see AI as an innovation that should be augmenting people's abilities, not replacing people's abilities. And it is a journey for sure, both internally and with our clients and the larger world, to make sure people understand them. It's something we spend a lot of time with, focused on.
Yeah, so I'd love to then hear more about what you're doing at IBM to build trust in AI. One of the findings that we have is we looked at several different types of innovation. And AI at this point, it could go either way. There are people who are resisting it. There are people who are embracing it. It's a fairly similar number of people who are on either side of embracing or resistant. So talk a little bit about the work that you're doing at IBM.
So I think we're finding some of the same things that you're finding. And I think AI's been around for a long time. People have been using it in different forms. But it's this new generative AI that's allowing us to do different things. And I think that's what really has people having some of the reservations. For us, it's all about making sure we've got the right guardrails around AI and the right principles guiding what we're doing. So for us, it's about making sure that we're transparent, that we're tied back to our values as a 112-year-old company, that we're authentic in where we're using the AI. But the other side of this comes down to regulation and really making sure that it's being regulated in a way that gives people a better understanding, that holds people accountable for the AI they're putting out there into the world. That really is about use case regulation. We don't think you can regulate the full technology because it's very different if a, for example, a navigation tool tells you to get off at the wrong exit and you end up someplace 5 minutes later versus AI being used to decide a credit score, whether or not you can get a home loan or whether or not there's a life-saving medical decision that's being done. So for us, it's about those use case regulations. And then lastly, it's about that open ecosystem to make sure that the best innovation is brought forward in a really robust way.
Yeah, let's stick on regulation for a minute because our respondents feel if innovation is better regulated, they're more likely to embrace that innovation. I'm curious what IBM is doing in terms of partnering with government because it's government that regulates. How are you actually embracing regulation yourself? What are you doing to partner with government?
You know, we're engaging with conversations around the world with governments on this topic. And we've got our view, which is about accountability, about that open ecosystem, and about the use cases. And we're happily engaging there, whether it's in the U.S. with Senator Schumer and the listening sessions that he's been doing, or in the European Union or in Japan. There are places all around the world that we're having those conversations, and we're sticking to our similar principles, whatever they are, because public-private partnerships and discussions are going to be what really advances this. And I think it's going to be difficult to get one broad set of AI regulation that comes across the whole world. So how do you get some foundational principles in place that people can agree to, and then you can get some more of that certainty moving forward?
So you're an expert communicator. I know that firsthand. Is there a different way that you communicate with potential regulators that you might with the public? There's certainly skepticism amongst the public that the government even understands the innovations that they're trying to regulate. So I'm curious, as a communicator, how you work with policy and other teams to make sure that government is also fully understanding the scope of the innovation.
I think you'd probably agree with me, no matter who you're communicating with today, you have to expect that it's going to go far and wide beyond the audience that you're talking to. So for us, it's about giving examples of those use cases of how AI is being used and how the regulation could apply to that. That's where we spend a lot of time as we're discussing those topics. But we do that with the lens that it is also going to impact our clients, and they're going to understand what we're talking about and our partners as well. So I think you get some more details, but you have to do it with the lens of others are still going to hear it.
Yeah, and one of the things that we found in this study this year is respondents would trust business more on its role in implementing technology if they knew it was partnering with government. In terms of your time at Davos and IBM's time at Davos, perfect place to be meeting with government officials, talk a little bit more about the partnering that you're doing with government here at Davos.
We will have lots of conversations with governments from around the world here. I mean, one of the great things about Davos is you do have that broad swath of governments from all around the world that are coming in, that you can have that opportunity to meet and talk about the most pressing business issues. And for us, regulation of AI, how AI is getting implemented in the various countries around the world, is a big focus for us. And, you know, I talked about the promenade before. You see not just companies, but you see the Belgium house and the Greek house and the Saudi Arabian storefronts and the UAE and India. So there's countries from around the world, and there's great opportunity to have conversations. And we're finding that's what countries want to talk about as well.
Could part of this be a perceptual issue in that people don't think business and government are partnering, but actually they're partnering more than people understand that they do?
I think it could be. I can only speak for us as IBM, and I know that our relationship with government and making sure we've got a good two-way dialogue going on, whether it's around AI or any other number of issues, is really important, and it's really foundational, and that's why we've got a great government affairs team that really is helping us drive that message.
There's something you said earlier about IBM's heritage of innovation, and I've noticed in the marketing and communications that IBM does around AI and trust, your heritage, your century oldness, the fact that you have been known for all these years is something that you're clearly putting forth in your communications. Why is that important?
I think we're all facing a lot of challenging discussions today and decisions as we look at things around implementation of new innovation, new technologies. So if you think about something like facial recognition, using AI for mass scale facial recognition and surveillance, that's something we got out of. Because if we were able to fall back on our values and our principles as an organization and say that technology, the way people were using it, doesn't align to what we stand for and what we've done. So I think it's really important to have those principles, whether it's on this topic or any number of topics, to be able to go, this is who we are, this is what makes us IBM, this is why people want to work with us, and this is why people want to work here.
Is there a link between having strong core values and existing for long enough to having them road tested and having them inculcated over time?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you've got to have those, and I think, you know, that doesn't mean they can't get slightly tweaked, but it's the foundational principles of them that stay firm and stay true to who you are and make a company. I mean, I'll look at Edelman and my time at Edelman. There are some really foundational principles that Richard has talked about for years and years that make Edelman different from all of the other agencies that are out there today.
What's your role as a communicator in terms of communicating the values of IBM?
It's foundational to what we do. It's what guides us in how we engage with our clients, with our partners, and with our IBMers, right? There is a massive IBM team around the world and alumni of IBM that really are looking to see and hear what we're doing. And we've got to have consistent messaging across the board. And I can't tell you how many times I run into somebody in a random place where somebody says, I was an IBMer, I worked there for 25 years, and I love to hear what you guys are talking about right now. It's really foundational to what we do.
So IBM recently published the 2023 Global AI Adoption Index, which is an annual poll of global IT decision makers. Where did respondents report that their companies stand on adopting AI tools?
The numbers are interesting. It's 42% of the respondents have deployed AI in a meaningful way, but another 40% are really exploring how they're going to use AI and how they move it forward. And one of the big things that they're looking at is around trust and the issues around trust and how that will help them drive it inside their organization.
And what are the barriers for them to drive trust within their organization?
You know, it is about how that AI is going to be used and will it replace what people are doing? How is it going to augment what people are doing? It's about how data is going to be protected or used. It's about how does it align to the principles of the company? You know, this all falls back to three words, principles, principles, and principles.
Great. Well, we've talked a lot specifically about IBM. Now let's think about business in general. Mm-hmm. Respondents to our trust report say that they trust business above other institutions in integrating innovation into society. Why do you think business is the most trusted institution? What do you think the role of business should be in helping to integrate these innovations?
You know, I think people trust business more than the other institutions because it's where they spend so much of their daily life, right? It's like a second family that you have at the office, and you work at a place that many people work in places, it's not everybody, that you want to work at, right? And if you don't like it, you go find another job. I know that doesn't apply to everybody, but I think that people trust the organization because they want to be there. They want to advance the cause of the organization. And it really, a lot of that, though, comes down to the leadership inside of companies, to having a constant, regular communication with their employees and telling them where they're going and why they're doing the things they are.
And what about business in general? What should business in general be doing to smartly get people to embrace innovations? Innovations that also, like, let's be clear, these are innovations like mRNA vaccines that can really help people save lives.
Well, I think, first of all, to me, a lot of this falls back on the ethics of the company. And you have to make sure that those ethics and those foundational principles are there from the start. And you've got to be as transparent as you can about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And if you look at some of the amazing innovations we've seen come in the last couple of years, and you talk about mRNA or AI or any of these things, they're making a huge impact on people's lives. And if you can show use cases of the impacts that it's having, I think that helps bring it to life for people in a different way.
You're talking about almost the output, the use cases. But what about the development of these technologies? And could part of the perceptual problem be that it's hard for people to fully understand how these developments come to be and the development process and generally the scientific method, but in the case of AI, not the scientific method? So is there something about perhaps the lack of transparency in how these innovations come to market that is part of the issue here?
Well, I think, Justin, they're complex topics, right? Talk about innovation. A place that we spend a lot of our time is around quantum computing. And the first time I went and talked to somebody in our research lab about quantum computing, and I said, can you describe it to me? They said, I can take your socks and shoes and put them on the other side of the universe in the exact same state. I still don't understand what that means. And looking at your face right now, you don't understand what that means either. But when you get to a simplified version of how these things are developed and what they can do, I think it does sort of come back to, I'm going to fall back on those use cases, but it's similar to telling those use case stories as you explain in a simplified version how the innovations are created and why the companies are investing in them. I think that is essential.
Jonathan, as you think to the end of this week,
yep,
and you're on the plane home back to New York, if it's a successful week, what will you have accomplished?
You know, for me, honestly, when I'm on the plane home to New York and it's been a successful week, I will be sleeping, because that means that I've been, you know, going long days, burning the candles at both ends. But for me, it's about how do we advance relationships? How do we have tangible actions that we're taking out of here? This isn't just about having nice conversations. It's about what are the next steps? How do you move things forward? And that's not always a transaction. That is, I've had 3 meetings already this morning, and there's things that people are like, hey, I'm trying to get a relationship with this person. Do you mind introducing me there and helping to build those bridges and me getting the same thing going on? So it's a complex set of outcomes, or a varied set of outcomes, but I'm really excited for the week ahead, and I think there's great opportunity for everybody who's here.
And sometimes Davos is thought of as a place where there's a little bit more talk than action. What will action feel like? You mentioned kind of having next steps from a lot of these meetings. Like, give people a flavor of the sort of action that can come out of Davos.
I think the range can be anything. It could be, I feel like taking action is sitting with you today and having this meaningful conversation. I think that sitting and talking with prospective clients and partners that will happen over the next couple of days, and we're talking about specific transactions or deals or partnerships that we're doing. I think talking to people who I've never met before and saying, hey, how do we partner up and do something interesting that's convening a group of people or moving forward in innovation or applying something in a new way. I think actions can have many different shapes and sizes here.
Great. Well, Jonathan, I wish you a really fun, action-oriented week here at Davos. I'm sure we will probably run into each other about 72 times between now and Friday.
I'm looking forward to it, Justin, and I hope you have a great time here in Davos as well.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. That's all the time we have for today. Jonathan, thank you for coming on our show and sharing your expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.